Everybody ready? 1, 2, 3. Let's show rules!
Eagle! Showtime!
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can skid up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the show name's good like the DLFBS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxX.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Yeah.
Hey, a whole 360 lot of
Dave Yates.
360 Dave Yates.
360 Dave Yates. 368.
368, huh?
No, that email was actually Gorkon. He's going to be late.
Oh, he sent an email?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you should just reply that email and tell him if you're not here on time, we don't want you.
Let's run him off the goddamn show.
Get the hell out. Yeah.
We've had enough. We tolerate it from Alan all the time. Yeah. We're not going to tolerate it from anybody else.
So, show 368, right? And we have two sets of guests today. We had Stephen J. Von Nichols. And then we also had John Watson and Kelly Penguin Girl. And guess who showed up for the show? Nobody. Just us.
We did try though.
All right.
We won't have to do the bed and breakfast theme podcast today.
Yeah.
We can hold that off for some other time.
Yeah. But we have Man Fry, so everything is cool.
In the hizzy.
So Dan Fry, you happy? You got your froyo?
I am.
Froyoed up there.
I'm very happy on that respect, and I'm very pissed off at technology and in a whole bunch of other respects.
Oh no!
I've been having nothing but technology failures lately. The bulb in my DLP TV blew again last night. This is now the fourth year in a row. Okay, and they should not be blowing like this, but they are. The server that I had that I was running my RAID on that used to be the back end for my my Myth TV, that thing took a shit as well. So I've been scrambling around getting everything kind of, you know, reconfigured and back up and running in different ways here, and it's just been nonstop, one thing after another. So not happy.
Is that a bulb in your TV blue?
Yeah. It's a DLP, so it's a rear projection.
Okay.
That's like mine. My one down in the man cave is like that.
We went out looking tonight, and I think I found what I'm going to replace it with. I'm not buying any more fucking bulbs. That's all I got to say.
What are you going to get, an LCD?
LED LCD is a Samsung one that they stream Netflix and do all that stuff. And
Samsung's
great,
man. I love my Samsung.
They're beautiful. They're
great
absolutely
TVs,
beautiful.
Reasonable prices, mm-hmm. Good deals.
I don't know if I'd say reasonable. This one is about $2,100.
So. Oh, well, you're going to get an OLED, man.
Yeah.
which TV is
that?
It's the LED LCD TV. It's like about a 50 or 56 inch, I forget. But it's,
that's one of those whopper thin mint ones that are like...
Dude. Yeah, it is. It's very, very thin.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
$2,100, man. Does that thing come with a masseuse, too?
It comes with a reach around, is what it comes around with.
I don't know. That's the way I'm thinking.
Television viewing with a happy ending, right?
Yeah. If you got the money to blow, man, go for it. But if not, just get an LCD.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still torn.
Size.
Well, this one here is 56 inches right now, and it's every year. Every year I've had to put a new bulb in it, and it's like between $250 and $300 every time you need to get a new bulb.
Sounds like you got a lemon there, man.
Oh, yeah. They had to replace the light engine in it, and they wouldn't replace the whole TV for me when it first came. They actually replaced the light engine in it 3 times, I think. So, I'm going
to
throw it on Craigslist and say, give me $200. It needs a bulb. If anybody wants it, go for it.
Exactly.
Speaking of Craigslist.
There you go, and that's the start of our first tech show flea market, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Speaking of Craigslist, don't we have, aren't we going to announce the winners tonight? Winner tonight. We can say that for
the
end of the show?
In fact, we are. Do you want to do that now? We can do that anytime you want.
Hey, you're the man with the plan, so.
I'm the man. We can do it.
Put the can in your hand.
We can do it. I'll do it right now.
Get that turd out of here.
Yeah, we might as well not prolong the agony of everybody having to pony up $50 so we can ship the damn thing out to Israel or something like that.
Cross your fingers. And we can actually ship it to the country legally.
Here's the deal, guys. We have a wonderful version 1.0 Neuros Link from Joe Bourne at Neuros Technologies. Put this thing up for us to give out to you folks, and we have 74 of the best show fans in the world that decided to go in on this contest, and I am going to randomly pick one of them to get a very nice version 1 Neuros Link. So who wants to do the drum roll? I got to go to, just to make it fair, I'm not even going to make a program or something to randomly pick a number. I'm going to random.org, and I'm going to put in 1 to 74 and generate a number. And now I have to go and find the corresponding person here. Oh, you know what sucks is that this list doesn't have numbers next to it. I could count.
Put all the names into a spreadsheet and then generate a number.
Just cover your eyes and move your hand and uncover them.
Yeah, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to copy the... I'm going to copy the stuff.
Vim set num.
You could also get a dart.
There you go.
Just throw a dart at.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Vim set num. That's exactly it right there. Actually, I'm not even going to do that.
Dribble comes through with the command.
:56. And that's going to put me right on the right line.
Hello.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Are you excited?
Be quiet, Joe. We're about to announce the winner.
Survey says...
I don't think Joe could get any.
I gotta find him. I gotta find him. Oh! Here he is.
I take it we haven't started yet.
Oh, we totally
we started.
Right. Okay, guys. The winner is David Brunner from Aurora, Colorado.
Congratulations,
yay.
David!
Yay!
Cool. David Brunner, you just won yourself a wickedly cool version 1 Neuros Link.
You have 5 minutes to call now.
Yeah. If you're not here, you're not getting
five
a
minutes
debit.
In the isn't there some kind of deal where, like, you know, where those prize guys are like, we'll take you offline, and then they tell you that it's $100 shipping or something like that?
Yeah.
David $200. Brunner, come on. Don't lowball
Colorado.
Isn't that how the Nigerian scams work? You know, like, you've been awarded $2 million U.S., but I need $50,000
in
your bank account number.
Anyway.
Reply.
Yeah, there's Joel, can you turn yourself up?
But not by a lot.
I can turn myself up.
Yeah, you come in late, you're ruining the show.
Right, okay.
That's it.
Okay. What's your anyway? You sound like you have something to say.
Test. Am I better? Am I better?
Wow, you can actually hear you now, and you sound clear. I take everything back.
I should hope.
Link has ever said about you.
Yeah. You know what's really cool about this contest was that, and I sent an email with some of them to the guys on the show, but a lot of you guys, you know, said a lot of cool things. I don't know whether it was just to be nice or in an effort to try swayed us into perhaps dropping your name in the pot twice. But, you know, you just, yeah, a lot of you guys just said hi and you know, how long you've been listening to the show and stuff like that. And I thought that was really cool.
We appreciate it.
You know, collected a bunch of those and sent it off to the list.
And there's some really good ones.
Feel free to email us at any time, though, too.
Yeah. But I also noticed what was really interesting with this contest is there was a monster amount of probably half of the entries, if not maybe a little bit more, were for people outside the United States, believe it or not. Whole lot of people listening to us.
That's cool.
You know, percentage-wise from the 74 people who responded, there's a lot of people listening to us from Canada, a whole lot of Canadians listening. Norway, right? The Netherlands, some Australia, Israel, just all kinds of places, you know? It was pretty cool. Yeah, like they said, please don't hesitate to drop us an email once in a while and say hello. I thought that was really neat.
Cool.
Say hello, give us suggestions, what do you want to hear, that type of stuff. Who do you want to hear?
Yeah. And especially with
you have any analytics off that box where they're downloaded from?
Pardon?
I said, do you have any analytics off the box where the podcasts are downloaded from?
I do. Here's the deal. It's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? If you go and you look at the referrals and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily hold true to a country of origin or anything like that, so it's kind of hard to tell. I mean,
I switched the Myth TV Cast one over to Feedburner, which is now apparently owned by Google. I had no idea that happened, but it's owned by Google, and it has all of the analytics built right into it. So I'm just gonna tell everybody to.
Do we use Feedburner for ours, Dan? Dan.
Yeah, we use Feedburner.
Oh, they should have.
Cool. Right, but it should have some proxy that would change. It would not necessarily give you the right things if it goes through a proxy. Especially if you might have the unfortunate problem of having us blocked in your country.
Where are we blocked now?
You want to know how many...
China.
How many...
No, I thought we weren't blocked in China. I have a friend who goes to China every now and then. I should have asked her when she last went. She was just there.
We had somebody tell us
2 weeks ago.
We were blocked in China.
Yeah.
Do you want to know how many people we have subscribed to our feeds?
Yeah.
Survey says.
All right, hold on. I had to add them all up here. Because we have two different
Show
feeds.
Show us. Person subscribes to our speed.
Well, they look at that.
We have speak speed too.
We have 3,761 subscriptions according to a feed burner.
Oh, there you go.
601 of those are off of iTunes. 2,296 are for the MP3. The Og Vorbis feed has 861, and our speaks feed has 3 people subscribe.
3 people.
No speaks.
And in the last year, we have had 3 million unique hits on the website. So
nice.
So I think we should go to a straight Speaks podcast.
Let's support Speaks. Screw off.
Look how personal we could be to people at that point.
Yeah.
That's right. No more MP3. Planner.
You'd have to get some 8-bit audio for in-between things.
There you go.
And for the intro.
Anyway.
Forget the Zelda.
Before we branch too far from the contest stuff, if you tried to get your O'Reilly ebook last week, and I know several people had no problems, but if you were afraid to give O'Reilly your real email address, so sorry, you're not going to get the ebook.
Ah, you gotta. People are fucking paranoid, man. It's like, take a chill pill, man.
Yeah,
I
don't want anybody to spy on me. I don't know about the men to know who I am.
Man,
take a chill pill. Give a freaking email address out
because of that too.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus H. You know.
Yeah, I mean, this is an e-book. That's how you're getting it delivered. You don't have to have somebody at your house to wait for this, unlike the link. But
yeah, but you know, here's the deal with that, right? If you're really that paranoid that you can't give your a real email address, right? Go to Google and get a Gmail address. Get another one. They'll give
there
you one,
go.
Really. Right?
Yeah.
Get a new address.
Show a Hotmail, show a Yahoo.
Shit like that, right?
Right. Absolutely.
It'll take you 5
anyway,
seconds.
Oh, Rome Golf forgot one. That's
get
cool.
Your stuff.
Yep.
Kyle, you're in Gmail, you can even use the dynamic aliasing and just block it then after the fact if you don't want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I've done that. But seriously, though, I don't think O'Reilly is the one you have to worry about with this one, though. So, they're pretty cool people. You know, they might have not given us any books to give away at OLF, but they made up. I think they have anyway. So.
Yeah, I got my free book. I was a winner.
I got one too.
What you? Yeah.
Hey, me too.
Me
I didn't
too.
Even go to
it. We're all winners.
That's right.
I haven't even bothered to get it yet. I gotta still put in for one.
Speaking of winners, and going back just a second, Dan, you said we had 3 people subscribe to SpeakSpeed?
3 people, sir.
Do you know why there's only 3? One reason there may be why?
Because you're one of them?
Well, no, I've just tried to subscribe, and the last episode on the feed is from November 2009. Somebody's not updating it.
No, the feed's updated every week.
Really?
Are you serious?
Yeah. It's
why isn't
November
it
4th, 2009, episode 326.
Broken.
It looks
wait
like
a minute.
Broken.
How could it be November 4th? We didn't start doing the Speaks feed until a few weeks
Peg
ago. I mean, a few months
ago. Episode 326 is the last one. Maybe the only one on the feed.
Goes right back to what I was saying about technology fail.
Yep.
Hey, you know what's funny
no,
about
No, you know
that
what? That's not true. Because I test the feed every week, Dave Yates. And it pulls, and I make sure it pulls down all the files.
You know, when I was redoing the website, I had a conversation with Dan, and I said, Dan, do you want me to program the website so that it automatically generates the RSS feed? What did Dan say? No. I'll take care of that, man. That's all right.
You know what it is?
That's not me, so.
What it is?
FeedBurner's not updating it.
Ah.
I hit the direct RSS feed, not the FeedBurner one. Because when you use FeedBurner, you use a redirect.
Alright, so the direct one is... What? Is there another feed? Is that what you're saying?
There's actually 2 feeds for everything. There's a...
I want the good feed.
And the feed you want...
The feed that actually works.
The feed that you want is, TLL is the linuxlink.net/TLLTS_speaks.rss, which I don't understand.
Wow.
I think that's the one I put in G-Potter.
That one I know works.
G-Potter. Maybe you should use Bash-Potter.
I used to be a Bash-Potter user. It's a great, great client.
It is.
I'm using Dogcatcher these days on my phone.
Yeah, I am too, man. Dogcatcher is the bomb. If you need a podcatcher, forget Google Listen. Dogcatcher's worth it.
Yeah, Listen is flaky, man. Sometimes I when I was using that, it would be like feeds on there. You know, they would work fine for a while, and all of a sudden it would just stop updating.
Yeah, I had that too. It was more so with Og feet.
Yeah,
than
with Og
MP3
it was more flaky,
feed.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
The only
thing
I've can't
been using
get
Beyond Pod, and that works really well.
Beyond Pod?
Yeah.
Thank you,
Dan.
The
only one
works.
I can't get and listen is actually Dave's show. Dave's show won't show up and listen.
You're
not
missing.
Sure why, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not updating, so...
I couldn't get Chad's ever to download.
But
yeah,
but that is actually the only one that doesn't work in, for at least for me.
See, I've got a feed that works and one that don't work.
Oh. Perhaps I'm getting the one that don't work.
There might have been something else in Chad's.
I should say obviously I'm getting the one that don't work.
I have no idea what's wrong with it.
One episode of Chad's blew up my Sansa fuse here.
Oh, really?
For real?
Yeah. Yeah. It just rebooted.
Stopped,
it rebooted. I mean, and it's the only time that ever happened was when I was listening to Linux Basement.
Blame it on Claudio. Anyway. I'm trying to think. There was something I wanted to bring up. Dang it. Hate that. Oh, yeah. Dan.
Is Beyond Pod a... do they charge you for that? Or is that a free one?
There's a free one and a pay one.
Okay.
Cool.
I'll have to take a look at that.
I think I bought it. I really liked it.
Yeah.
What?
What? I heard you ordered
what?
A tablet from Neuros.
Oh, I mean, you know what? We can't talk about that until we talk about something else.
Oh, okay, then talk about it. Talk about something else. What
I
is
figured
it?
Link was going to talk about it, since he's the man with the Neuros plan.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting one, too. Joe's got one for GD.
Do you want me to talk about it, or do you guys want to talk about it? Or somebody else?
Why don't you start, Dan, and then we'll chime in.
Yeah, you start.
All right,
You might have yours already.
No, I don't. It's not going to be here until, like, the first... Anyway, Joe Bourne over at Neuros Audio sent Link. I think he sent you this email.
Yep.
And he was on the show on episode 365 and was talking about the Android control tablets and those devices that they were looking at and getting and playing around with. And he has, if you go to his website and look at it, they have a review on it over there. And primarily this device, they're looking at it to be used as a control for the Neuros Link. Is that correct?
Yep.
And they were very impressed with it. And he's sending out for another shipment of orders in China on the 26th. I think it's this week on this Friday. And
24th, I think.
Okay, Friday the 24th. And
yep,
it should be back
24th.
Around the 28th. And he said that if anybody's interested in ordering it... wait, is this... Can we announce this?
Yeah.
The
okay.
code, yeah.
Alright, so there's a coupon code... that you can put in if you order it. The tablet itself is regularly $129. $30 off. That's $99 then. All total with shipping and handling. I purchased one. It was $114 with shipping and handling and everything. So the code I'll put in our IRC.
Just put it in there.
But yeah, Link's got it, and I got the link to the tablet right on the Neuro store. So...
Yeah, so definitely.
It says, you know... $99 with that coupon code, so go now and put your order in. The orders have to be in before the September 24th, which is this Friday. They're going to put the order in, and then the tablets are supposed to be back from China, which is where he's getting them made, on the 28th or thereabouts. So, you know, it would be shortly thereafter we got your tablet.
Yes.
But put your orders in right now. Orders need to be in by the 24th, and you put the coupon code of NL30CDFF, and you will get your tablet for $99 instead of what it was like $125 or something like that.
Right.
So big discount from Joe Bourne at Neuro.
And for those who want to know, this thing's pre-rooted. It already has root. So
yes, you know, the unfortunate thing on it, though, is it comes with Android 1.6.
Yeah, that is a little old, but I'm sure they'll still update it.
CyanogenMod or somebody...
But there's a way to update it already, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, well, it's just knowing which Chinese tablet it is. There is a... I have to think. There is a tablet Android site, which they already have several ROMs on it. And I need to find that. If I find it, I'll post it in the IRC.
We're
going
to hack the shit out of these things, man. If the thing's only running 1.6, we'll get 2.2 on there. Don't you worry.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to
I need to find it in my thing.
But for $99, if you look at the review video, and I posted the link on there for the review video that Joe did on the thing, it's a pretty nice looking tablet, you know?
It's, what is it, 7-inch?
Yeah, it's a 7-inch
tablet.
It's
yep.
Good looking. He says it's metal construction, right? So it's not a cheap piece of shit like the one Alan reviewed.
We'll get to that.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, for $100, right, if it does e-books, you're making out like a bandit.
Exactly. Even if you just use it as an e-book, that's a good deal.
You can't get an e-book reader for $100.
It does say that it does
H.264.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can watch YouTube on there.
And Og.
You're golden, man. For $100, you can't beat that. I wish, like hell, I had $100. I would get one. But I am...
Gotta pay that ticket first.
Yeah.
I can't get one. I don't have any money. Got to pay my speeding ticket.
I mean, those Samsung tablets that are coming out, they look like nice tablets, man, but they're going to be freaking expensive. And they're not offering a Wi-Fi version of that thing. A lot of people just want to buy a tablet and have a tablet, you know? They don't want to go out and have get a 2-year freaking contract to freaking for a data plan.
Right. I think that sucks, too. A lot.
I mean, but they look beautiful, like the videos and stuff of the Samsung tablets. They look awesome. But, you know, as far as I know, they're going to be expensive, those things.
Anyway. Yeah, Joe's going to send me one to review for Gear Diary. So, looks pretty interesting.
When O'Reilly gave out the e-books to our wonderful listeners, I got Python in a nutshell and decided to... You know, I do enjoy reading books on my phone, but with I would probably prefer to read it on a little larger screen, the technical books. It'd be easier to manage for me, and I think that's primarily what I'm ordering it for.
See, that's what I would like one for myself. Yep. I would like to be able to have as many of my technical books on there as possible, and you know, then you have instant access to that stuff.
Yep. You have a whole library of books in the palm of your hand.
Right in your pocket. That's just a neat thing.
Now, I actually was fortunate enough, a friend of mine at work, our graphic artist guy, I'm not sure if it's going to be at all similar to the one that Joe's got coming, but he has one of these Chinese knockoffs that are really, really, that's really, really close to what Joe has up on his website, and I got to play with it for a little bit. It doesn't have Android, the one he has doesn't have the Android marketplace, but it does have the Slide marketplace. Now, if you've had CyanogenMod on any of your phones, you have this on there. And I installed ConnectBot and a couple other little things on his tablet and played around with it. And surprisingly, the screen was actually not bad. It wasn't as good as, say, as the iPad, but it was actually not bad at all. I was actually kind of impressed by it for as much as he paid. I think he paid like $150 for his. So, and he got it because he wants to put all of his, car manuals on it, because he's into collecting like PDFs of different owner's manuals from different cars over the years, so, and he wants to read them. I don't know why. He just does.
That's pretty cool. I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that big time.
He's a car geek, so, I mean, you know, this guy has, like, 2-3 cars, so. But I was really impressed with it. It didn't look like, I think Joe's looks like, if you look at the picture they have on there, this one looks like it actually has a regular full-size USB port on the right-hand side, as well as a micro USB, you know.
Well, yeah, the specs are on the website.
Right. Now, I'm wondering if it could be, like, this one that I played with, it would take USB, but you had to put a little dongle in it, and it basically was a USB OTG port, which means you could probably plug, like, a mouse or a keyboard into it, but you probably wouldn't be able to, like, say, plug a bus-powered hard drive on it, unless it was, like, a flash drive. But I was real pleased with the size. I thought it was good. Good size. The screen cut, it was, like I said, the screen felt okay, but not great. So, it's probably going to be good enough for exactly what Joe's saying. To control your link. You'll be able to control Boxy with this thing, XBMC, you know, I think you probably stream to it. I don't know if he's, I think it'd be a neat little DLNA tablet for use around the house, you know? All kinds of different uses. So, Alan, you want to talk about the one you reviewed?
It was crappy.
Well,
yeah.
Let's play the review.
This is like,
oh, there you go.
The review. It's...
Yeah. All right, here's Alan's review. And I'm excited. Unfortunately, you won't see Alan's video unless you're watching on YouTube, but I'll get to watch it. Well, because I'm playing it through M Player. So here we go.
All right. Hi, this is Alan from the Link Swing Tech Show. And I want to give you a quick review of the GenTouch tablet. This is the $150 tablet that was sold at Kmart. Quick review of it. It's got a nice screen. It's hard to see the reflection and all. If you were going to do nothing more with this tablet than browse the web and look at YouTube, it would probably be great. That being said, I really wanted to like this tablet, but I don't. It has far too many flaws, in my opinion, to it. It's a lovely little device that had good intentions to start with, but then went horribly wrong. It's almost like they had a good idea, but they released the tablet far before they got to that point. Basically, it's got a lot of little things, and it's not one, basically, this is actually my second tablet that I have. The first one I had, that the glass fell off as soon as I got it out of the box, which is not a good sign, not a good sign at all. This one actually is coming loose, so it's very poor build quality. That's one big thing right there. Micro SD card. This is a tablet, people. If you're going to design a tablet, put a normal SD card in there. Micro SD is fine for a phone that you're never going to take it out, but this thing's a pain in the butt to take out. If you haven't got nails, you're not going to do it, for one. The slot is too big. It's very easy if you're not paying attention to it. It's very, very simple to actually put it in the wrong slot. And I read a couple of reports online where people have actually pushed it in and it now rattles around on the bottom of the case. I just started something there. I don't know what it is. It is a resistive touch screen. It's not capacitive touched. So you can't do things like pinch and zoom. On it's not going to work. I have to learn to look at the lens and not at my, not at the screen I'm looking next to here. I bought it because I hoped it would be a good book reader on it. And as we can see, I've fired up the bookshelf reader. And it forces everything to horizontal, which to me is very uncomfortable to read. Because one of the other flaws on this machine is the buttons are all on the back. on. And you sort of get used to where they are. I've had this tablet for a couple of days now. I sort of get used to where they are, but it requires you to always be holding the tablet like this, basically. Which, to me, I'm a right-handed person. If I'm trying to use the little stylus here, that's in my right hand. Click, click, click. Then you have to sort of drop things and grab onto the back if you want to go back forward or use the menu bar. So basically the same buttons are on the back you find on your Android phone. Search, menu, back, and home on the back. And they're all pretty much feel the same, but you sort of get used to where they are. They have a little piece of plastic in between each. So you can feel it with your finger on it. But it's still not really good. This is still opening up the book, by the way. It's supposed to be, spec-wise, it's an 800 megahertz processor, 256 megs of RAM, 2 gigs of internal memory. I did go out and buy an 8 gig, or no, sorry, I bought a 4 gig micro SD card for it. It should be fast, and in most cases, it's not too bad on it. You can actually push the buttons with your fingers. You don't need the stylus, although the stylus does make it much easier to maneuver around with. It's got its own app store, which is not very good. Let's find the right button here to go home. There we go. It's got its own app store. If we can fire up here, it takes a couple of moments. This one here does actually have the Google App Store on there, although I will not put my Google App passwords in there, or my Google passwords in here. Because another thing I found out with this by reading on the forums, what little bit there are, so if you put your password in here and decide you don't like it anymore on it, you can't get your stuff off of here without going in and hacking the thing, which to me is a major flaw. There is a setting in here to restore it to factory defaults. It doesn't work on it, from what I've read, so I'm not going to put my password in because this is going back to Kmart. Probably because the screen is falling off on it. I'm holding my thumb on it now, but if you push on this corner on it, the screen does go up and down. Like I said, if you... The App Store, let me go back to the App Store. The App Store is, like I said, it's there. It's not very good, I don't think. It has about 1,000 apps, I think, is what I read on there, versus what, 70,000 that you can get in a normal App Store on it. You can, though, sideload apps. So if you can find the APK for whatever you're looking for on it, this will take it. You can just load it in. You can just download it and load it up. I did that with Pandora. It does actually play Pandora quite well. All right, let me find it on here. As I can tell you, like I said, you can scroll with your finger. There's about a second delay after you touch this, because it's resistive, I guess, it's about a second delay. So when you touch this, it takes about a second before you can drag your finger because it takes that long to figure out your fingers on it. That's the same with the stylus or your finger. It doesn't make much of a difference there. Another big headache, 2.5mm headphone jack. Who in the world uses that? You have to buy an adapter. I can't even put headphones on it. But you can play out through the little back speaker. Not the best of sounds, and I won't go and keep this because I don't want to cause any RIA violations on there. It will play not the best of sounds, but it does actually sound not too bad. Uses a standard wall wart jack to charge. I don't know that it charges off of the USB drive. I'm not totally sure about that. I've read differing reports about it. The manual doesn't really say. Another big headache that I found with this on it is it doesn't mount to either a Linux or a Mac. I mean, these are the only two computers I have. It doesn't mount to them properly. I have a gut feeling it mounts really well to Windows boxes, but I don't have anything to test that on, so I'm not even going to try that. It has two file explorers on here. I don't know why two, but it has two. Basically, what it shows you in the file manager when you mount it on the computer is not the same files and directories that you will see on the computer. So it makes it very hard for you to drag and drop things. I dragged a whole bunch of stuff over for me, a couple movies and stuff I wanted to see how it played. Couldn't find them on there, so had to go in like a manual. Actually, one nice thing about the File Explorer on here is it does actually mount SMB drives, so you can mount your Samba drive and copy things wirelessly to it, which is what I ended up doing, and then I could see the movies and a couple of MP3 files, and it does play FLAC very well as well. So I did see those things. Trouble is, you couldn't drag and drop them while it was connected to the computer. If you take the SD card out, which is a little slot on the side here, like I said, pain in the butt to get in and out, put that on your computer, you see the same drives as you would see on here. So you can drag and drop that way, but that's sort of a pain because you have to take the card out and you have to find your micro SD adapter. And hopefully you haven't lost that on top of your desk like I did once already. That being said, it will actually play things that are, you know, like I said, I've got a movie on here that I converted, which is actually, which is actually a converted for an iPod, actually, on it. I did a conversion for a friend of mine on it. It does play it very well. There's no real stuttering or anything like that, not like me. It's clear. You could watch a movie on here if you wanted to. It's a very nice size for that. Problem is getting it on and off the machine. So you sort of have to jump through hoops to do that. Now, you may not have to jump through those hoops if you're on a Windows box, something like that. I'm not totally sure. Logan's wrong, in case anybody was wondering. That being said, again, I don't want to incur any violations here or have anybody screaming at me, but that's what the movie was. Okay, like I said, all in all, if all you were ever going to do is play on the web, you know, browse the web, watch YouTube videos, it does do that sort of stuff. Let's bring up a website here. Okay, like I said, if you're going to browse on the web, it'll do it very nicely. Here you can see we've popped up the Linfing Tech Show. I don't know if we can easily see that. But our web page comes up. You can play MP3s off the web page. It does work with that. YouTube videos do work. Let's fire that up, show everybody. Google Talk is on here. There's a YouTube app right there. Basically the same stuff you get on it if you have an Android phone. It's basically all the same things here without the App Store on it. I understand from reading the website, when you do go and get the upgrade for this, and they're supposedly pushing out an upgrade for it, when you get that, it will wipe out the Google Gtalk. All the Google apps will be gone from here. So that's not, to me, that's not very fun. I don't know what neglected diaries are here, but let's put it on there.
Hi, sir, what happened to the diary journal you
write at work today? There you go. Neglected diaries, whatever that was. Like I said, I really wanted to like this device. The problem is it has the shortcomings make me not want it. And I think what I'll do is, like I said, I want a tablet. I'd like something this size. I actually like a 10-inch, but I thought 7 would be fine for an e-book reader and stuff. I'm really going to wait on it. So I'm going to wait for the next round. Hopefully something better will be coming out very soon. But if you've got $150 and you want to play, I think it's $169 actually right now in Kmart. Hey, if you want to play with one, it's probably good for playing, but I don't think it's, like I said, I think you'll get a headache real quick, but it may be fine if all you want to do is check your mail. That being said, I'm Alan. This has been my review of the GenTouch 7.8, 7.8, whatever. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Nicely done, Alan.
Thank you.
Very good. Stay away from whether or not you like the device.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said I wasn't quite sure whether or not you liked the device.
I really wanted to, but it just wasn't
that bad,
done.
Huh?
Yeah, it had all the pieces. It just was never finished. You know, if they'd finish it and charge like, you know, $199 or maybe even like $249, it would have been all right. But they just never finished putting all the pieces together.
Yeah, it's part of that. The chip, I mean, it was falling apart. You said.
Well, yeah, the fact that the first one I took out of the box, the touch screen fell off of it. And the second one I returned, and well, I got the second one back on it, and that was starting to fall off. I mean, it would have probably lasted about a week before you had to super glue it back in.
You should have took a picture of the insides when the screen fell off.
Well, it's actually just a touch piece of glass over top of the actual screen. So you wouldn't see the same screen. Yeah.
I gotcha. This is like the layer with the little wires in it.
Yeah, it was actually just being held on by the ribbon cable.
Get that back on with duct tape.
Oh, yeah, a little duct tape.
In South Carolina.
With wonders on it.
Yeah.
Duct tape would have worked great for it. Yeah, maybe in the next shot. Although I know they're putting out that same company is doing netbooks.
I would be
really frightened to buy a netbook from them.
Well,
that's what they do with their. Excuse me.
It's even slower. The netbook has a 400 megahertz processor.
Yeah, I don't know. There must be people like buying up, you know, discarded stock from people and just sticking their name on it or something. I don't know.
Like Sylvania, there's going to be a Sylvania netbook at CVS for like $99 running Windows CE of all things.
Oh, God.
Yeah. What the hell runs on it? Nothing. Pocket IE. Which is horrific 5 years ago. And still is horrific.
How do you install a virus scanner on that?
Yeah, well, you wouldn't need one because it is ARM, but...
You know what the whole thing about these tablets is that we want it to be cheaper than the iPad, and it should be cheaper than the iPad. It should be significantly cheaper than the iPad, and as good, if not better, than an iPad. Okay, it seems what we're getting is we're getting the high-end side with the likes of Samsung, and then there's the low-end crap. And this Kmart tablet is part of that low-end crap. So we need to find one that's got that sweet spot where it's still usable, it's still functional, and still cheap.
What about the line of five from Arcos?
They range
from what, a 3-inch to a 10-inch one.
That's a nice idea. Hopefully they did a better job than the first series that they had. The first series that they had, you couldn't even install applications from the marketplace on there, as far as I know.
The other nonsense was there
was incomplete codec packs in there. You had to go buy codecs from them after the fact? What the fuck?
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ArcOS.
I don't know, I've only ever seen ArcOS in the, like, Best
really
Buy.
Bad reviews on.
Yeah, the ArcOS 7 and R5, I heard Link in there. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because it had Android 1.6, no marketplace, and it was really, really poorly implemented. My friend Dan Cohen, we'll wait to see
what happens until people actually get some of those devices in their hands and we get some first-hand reports of if they fixed that nonsense. Hopefully they didn't learn something from it.
Yeah. Well, at least these ones are all Froyo, and the top two have 1 gigahertz chips in them instead of 800 or 600 megahertz chips. So they ought to be performers at the very least. So,
do you think maybe some of these manufacturers are holding off because, you know, even Google came out last week and said that, you know, the Froyo release and 2.1 and anything below that really isn't made to run on a tablet.
Right.
You know what, though? If they have open hardware, okay,
the people,
the community will hack it and they'll make the damn thing work.
Like this controlled tablet 1002 from Neuros. I think there could be a good hacking community around these cheaper but nicer Chinese tablets like this Neuros one. It looks a lot nicer than this Augen and some of the other ones I've seen. The Augen and that Eken one, you know, but it's still running 1.6. But like I said, Joe is going to ship this thing rooted. You will have root. You will not have to jump through hoops to hack this thing. You know,
it should be open.
Right.
You know,
some cell phones.
You know, when you have, well, you don't have to worry about it as much because it's not on a cell phone. It's just it's a Wi-Fi only device, and I think there's a huge market for people who want a Wi-Fi only device. You know, a bunch of us, we had the Nokia tablets, the N800, the N770, the N880.
Yep.
You know,
and those
great
really
devices,
nice devices
for what they were. You know,
they were. They're wonderful devices.
Well built, you know, beautiful displays.
Yep. Yep. I think we're right there, too, because I just saw an article that was shared amongst our group at Gear Diary where very few who buy the iPad with 3G are actually paying and using it on a regular basis. So, I mean, it's just... You know, I think the real trick here is you have an Android phone with 3G mobile hotspot and a Wi-Fi tablet, and basically you've got the best of both worlds. You know, or you can even have your netbook with you for that matter. You know, so.
We're gonna be wrong.
What percent are using 3G?
Huh? Yeah, Samsung is going to be on all four networks. And I believe on Sprint it'll probably have 4G.
Yeah, but there's no Wi-Fi version of it.
I know, which I think sucks, but...
You know, people don't want to have a freaking contract, you know? They want a device that they can use something around the house, you know? Or they take on a trip and they're in a hotel or something, they could hook it up to the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I thought I saw there was going to be a Wi-Fi-only version of the Samsung Galaxy tablets.
They talked about it, but they don't have a release date. I mean, the Samsung looks like a sweet device. I just hope that it's not freaking astronomically expensive.
But there is one limitation.
I don't think it is. I thought I saw that they were going to be, I don't know, like $400.
No, they're $700 without a contract.
That's expensive.
Well, why am I going to buy that when I can go buy something like the ZA Reason Terra HD? Well, good way to get that in there, Joel. I'm getting one to review, by the way.
What is it, the laptop?
That is probably the higher-end netbook that ZA Reason carries. It's got a metal lid on it. Aluminum, I should say. But
aluminium for
our
British friends.
Yes.
Aluminium, yes.
I'll put the link in the show.
Jaguar.
The one beautiful thing with buying from ZA Reason or some of the other Linux-only companies is the netbook is not... You can buy a netbook with better specs than you can buy most Windows netbooks. You can buy it with the 2 gigs of RAM and... with the ZA Reason Terra HD, you can get all the way up to a 500 gigabyte hard drive. There's not a Windows netbook that has a hard drive that big. Trust me, I looked. So, we'll see how soon I get it, and as soon as I get it, I'll definitely review it here and on GearDiary.com. So,
yeah,
looking
check
forward
out
to getting
reason.
That.
Back hey, to the Android tablets, you know, a 7-inch form factor I think is a perfect size. You know, with the Apple iPad, a lot of people were complaining that the thing was too damn big and they got tired of holding it. You know, 7-inch is still a nice size display, but it's smaller and lighter and not as annoying. You know, but it's bigger than, you know, your phone. It seems to be the sweet spot. Now, I do like the fact that, like, the Arcos ones, they're offering different sizes. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's a good one there. Yeah.
You know, you give people choice, and they can buy whatever they want.
Well, in the Arcos, you can get all the way down to like a 2.5 inch screen.
What the hell are you gonna do with a 2-inch screen?
It's a media player.
Yeah, it's all
an Android-based media player.
Guys, we're running a little long on this end of the segment, and I wanted to make a quick announcement before we did our intermission.
Yep.
Yes,
ma'am. Well, we'll see. This is the early days of tablets, and it's good to see that some devices are actually starting to ship.
Yep.
Sounds like fun. I can't wait to see. Real quick, I'm looking for a 10-inch one, but we'll have to talk about that later. Anyway, what I wanted to announce real quick
Link
was...
Link wants his big 10-inch.
Yeah, that's right, my big 10-inch.
That's what she said.
What I wanted to announce real quick
record of a band that plays the blues.
That
that's right.
Dan and I have talked a couple of times about setting up a mailing list for the tech show folks. Sort of a way to, you know, for us to disseminate information to you guys, you know, the fans and the hosts during the week.
All 76
a little bit
of you.
Easier. Yeah, yeah, all 76
of
you. To the hosts and the, you know, fans during the week, a little bit easier and sort of a virtual lug kind of thing. We have this great community. It'd be nice to be able to exchange ideas and help each other with problems and things of that sort. So if you're interested in joining the Tech Show mailing list, the Linux Think Tech Show mailing list, let me put the link information up there. What you're going to do is you're going to go to thelinuxlink.net/mailman/listinfo/TLLTS and sign up. That's http://thelinuxlink.net/mailman/listinfo/TLLTS and sign up for the Linux Link Tech Show mailing list. And that way we can all chat, you know, during the week, send each other some information back and forth on the mailing list and have a little fun. A little bit more.
That's a good idea.
Participation, right?
That's a really good idea. And I think, a lot of people say emails aren't a way out, but for me, email is the most convenient way to share things. And with a list like this, I can see this being used.
I organize my entire
day. It's easier checking into a forum.
By my email, so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, everybody, join up on the mailing list, and we'll talk back and forth there. And I'm sure it'll be loads and loads of fun.
Yep.
All right, Dan?
Damn straight.
Right, Dan.
That's what
Dan
said.
That's right.
What kind of intermission doohickey do you have for us?
We got a song.
20 minutes back
from
intermission. Yeah.
Off of Jamendo again. From the band Sheer. Called Say My Name off the Making a Munson album. It's punk in the style of early 80s punk. We shall see, though.
Funky.
And then after that, I'm going to follow it up with another short review. If you guys don't mind, System Administration in a Minute by Link Fezzenden.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, get excited.
Ooh-wee.
My nipples getting hard. All right, so without further ado, we shall be back in a few minutes.
to System Administration in a Minute with your host, Link. Today's topic is CSSH, or Cluster SSH, not to be confused with Central SSH. This fantastic program was recommended to me by Dave Yates in his Lotto Linux Links Linux User Podcast. He liked it so much I thought I would give it a try. Cluster SSH is just like the name implies, a way to SSH to, and administer a cluster of machines all at the same time. In other words, you can CSSH to multiple machines and run commands on them simultaneously. This command will take a list of hosts as command line arguments and open externs to them all on your desktop. Extern windows are truncated and tiled to fit your display, and I frequently use more than 80 on my desktop at a time. I, personally, find this tool invaluable as a system admin, just as much as most Linux users with multiple systems find SSH invaluable. I find that there is no easier way of doing routine administration, like software updates and upgrades to hordes of machines at once, than to use this tool. What makes this tool even nicer to use is the ability to define a group of servers by a single name. This allows CSSH access to all of those servers just by calling their group name instead of listing them all out in the command line argument. This is particularly handy if you have dozens or hundreds of servers you need to work on. Since I have an ever-increasing and changing list of servers to work on, I even created a small wrapper script for CSSH that starts it up for me with a dynamic list of servers to administer. This is really great stuff. You can find more information on the CSSH website at http://clustersh.sourceforge.net. Most users will be able to install it directly from their package managers by doing sudo apt-get install cluster SSH, or if you run Red Hat or CentOS system you can check my installation instructions by visiting http://linkgeek.org/blog, and searching for CSSH. Check it out, you will be glad you did, and thanks for listening to System Administration in a Minute with your host, Link.
Yeah.
Thank you, computer voice.
My, how your voice has changed.
And the warm reception brother. I got for that one, huh?
We should get Susan from Laquendo to do the voiceover.
No, the reason that I did that is because I never seem to have a chance to sit down in front of a microphone and record anything. However, I have 2 hours of commute time on the train every day where I can write crap on my, you know, on my notebook. So it's just easier for me if I'm doing that. I can, you know, I can write down a segment on my notebook and then fire off Festival Light in 20 seconds and create a vocal audio spot. And it's understandable, so there you have it.
Works for me.
Blame it on Dan. Bastard.
You know what? I'll throw my boot in here with some techie stuff.
Sounds great, Dan. Yeah. Unmute yourself, dude.
I was going to say, dude, did something happen there?
Yeah, no. I muted it with my belly. Anyway.
Where the hell is the mute button on you?
I'll leave that up to your imagination. Anyway, I was... I've come across this a number of times, and it gets thoroughly frustrating. Particularly when you're dealing with a technology you're not overly familiar with. At work, I've been doing this customized application thing, and there's this part in the customized application thing. Now, to give you a little backstory about this, briefly, they're selling this product that does leasing applications, and it does like this interface that was designed for building these things. Was designed like 5 years ago by an engineer to be used by an engineer. And it's not that difficult to do this if you have basic HTML experience. You can access the MySQL database that it links to be able to make changes. I didn't write this thing, but I'm stuck with fixing it and modifying it to be able to be used by our account managers who don't necessarily have extensive HTML training, some basics, some of them don't even have it. Because, you know, that's not their job. They're account managers. They do support, quality control, stuff like that. Anyway, part of the application process requires taking, you enter in questions, you build the questions, and then you attach them to pages, and then it dumps out some HTML, which you assign to the, you copy into those pages through a web interface, and then you have to manage, you know, edit the HTML. And hand coding HTML, for most of the people listening to this show, is not a difficult thing at all. But when dealing with trying to get these formatted, the applications to format properly, for someone who's never done it before, it's a fairly daunting task when you have the given the deadline of 3 days on top of the rest of your job to complete three of these applications so we can analyze the process. And on top of that, if they're expecting to get as much work as they hope to from this, it's going to be a tremendous amount of work for our account managers. Long story short, we're trying to find an easier way for this to be done so we don't have to involve taking the resources away from our front-end developers because they have more important things to do than build these applications. We're looking at ways to be able to create this HTML WYSIWYG editor, stuff like that, that might be able to generate just the basics and enough. We took a look at some of the jQuery stuff. Now, I'm not a JavaScript person by any stretch of the means. I know a little bit, but not enough. I'm more back-end stuff, like I've said before. But I sat down, and there's some nice jQuery-based WYSIWYG editors that you can plug into a page, and they do a great job of providing a rich text editor interface. And it looks like something that we could really use. Only the problem that I have with everyone that we have tried is no matter what, when you click submit or to save this, it doesn't pass the information back to the form element. What it appears to do is take the form, the element that you apply the ID to, be it a div or a text area. In our case, we're putting on a text area. It hides that text area, replaces it kind of like with an iframe in some cases, and you manipulate everything. You're supposed to, in some way, pass it back into that text area when you're done so you can save it on the back-end system. Well, I cannot figure out how to do this. I dug through their setup and documentation, and there is no apparent way on how to do this. And that I just find that extremely frustrating because you would think, unless there's something seriously wrong going on our end, and I've tried two different ones to get the same results, you would think somewhere in the documentation they would have said, how is it that you could actually make sure this saves? I can't find the damn thing. And to me, it doesn't make sense that a product would be out there or some stuff would be out there for as long as these have been. I'm saying probably over a year, and they're fantastic and well-developed. But all the documentation for setting it up is there. Some of the API is in there too, but how to actually get it to save, I'm completely at a loss. Completely at a loss. Very frustrating.
It's not trying to do some type of an AJAX post back to the server, is it, Dan?
Not that I can see. I have not found anything. It was not listed in the documentation for setting this up that it would be doing that. It just basically all they tell you to do is slap this JavaScript code in, and you know, attach an ID to the text area or the div that you want to put the editor on, and you're good to go. Yeah, it was that simple. But on the flip side, it doesn't save anything. So I'm spinning around here, trying to figure this out. Tomorrow I'll be back on top of that, hopefully with my one of my front end guys again.
And we're gonna dig into it. Right round, baby, right round.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
I would check Firebug first to see what it thinks it's doing. You can actually, you know, breakpoint the existing JavaScript that's inside of there.
Yeah, I was using a little bit of Firebug today. We trying to figure that stuff out. So I'm going to be back on it again tomorrow. We'll be doing that. The two applications that we tried, the first one was CL Editor, and I will put the links into the show, IRC. The second one was, that looked pretty good, was, I can't find it. It wasn't CL Editor. I'll have to... It was E something. L Wright.
Cool.
Now I can't find it. But they were both very nice, very well done. Very well done. So I highly recommend, you know, if you're interested in that stuff, check them out. I'll post those in. And I don't want to belabor that fact anymore. We have another short episode, Cooking with Geeks, from Man Fry, which I would like to play now, if that's okay with everybody else.
Do
go
it.
For it.
Man
Food
Fry.
Geek, right? Food Geek is what it is, not Cooking with Geeks. Food Geek episode 2 from Dan Fry. You're going to love this. Here you go.
Hi, this is Dan Fry, and this is Food Geek segment number 2. I'm going to talk over the next couple of segments on how to add smoke to your dishes. Now this is going to, of course, be based on, you know, cooking your food on a grill or a smoker or any type of outside device like that. So let me get into it. There are going to be a couple ways that you can add smoke to your dishes. And it's all going to depend upon the type of grill that you have. So typical grills are gas grills, charcoal grills, and then we have dedicated smokers. This segment, I'm going to focus on the gas grill alone, and in the next two segments, then, I'll cover each of the charcoal grills and the smokers. So let's talk about the gas grill. I personally have a natural gas grill, but it's going to be the same for natural gas or propane. But before we can start talking about the grill, we have to talk about the wood itself. So there are all kinds of varieties of wood that you can use for smoking. You typically want a more harder wood. Certain things, types of wood are like hickory, mesquite, cherry, applewood. They can also come in different formats. So there'll be chips and there'll be chunks. And you're going to handle each one slightly differently, depending upon the application that you're trying to do. So let's right now talk about preparing these chips for smoking. The first thing that you need to do is you need to soak them 30 minutes to an hour long in anything like beer or wine or water, even, you know, any of these things will allow the wood itself to be soaked just enough so that the wood will not actually combust when you put it onto the flames. It will actually smolder. And you're going to need that to be able to generate the smoke so that it can permeate your food as it's being cooked. So let's talk about preparing these chips. Well, I should state this. For a gas grill, you're going to want to use the chips. You're not going to want to use the chunks. And we'll get into the chunks when we talk more about the charcoal grill. But for the gas grill, we want to take our soaked chips, and you want to cut yourself like a double length wide sheet of aluminum foil. So basically you're gonna rip off, say, about a foot and then double that, and you're gonna want to fold that in half together, and you're gonna take a big handful of these chips and you're gonna set them in the middle of the aluminum foil. Then you're gonna fold the aluminum foil around it, so fold it end over end, crimp up all of the sides so that it's nice and tight. You also then want to take some type of a sharp object like a knife or a meat thermometer or a fork, and you want to puncture some holes in the top of this, what I'm going to call a smoke bomb. So then, afterwards, you should have a nice little pillow that's filled with your wood chips that are soaked, and they have holes in the top of it. Now let's talk about the grill. You have to turn the grill on high to start this off. So you want the grill to be really nice and hot for the initial go to get these chips to the point where they're actually generating smoke. Find the hottest part of the grill. So you do that roughly by just, you know, running your hand over top of it. Don't touch it, but just run your hand over the top of the grates, and you'll be able to feel, you know, some areas that may be hotter or cooler. Find the hottest part. Generally, if you cook on the grill a lot, you're going to know where this is at, and you're going to want to set this either underneath the grate, right on top of the flame, or you can set it right up on top of the grate, right over top of that hottest part. Now you're going to want to let this go for about 30 to 45 minutes. Oh, I should go back and mention too that for longer cooking meats, say for instance like a turkey or a pork shoulder, you're going to want to create a couple of these smoke bombs to have on hand ready to go, because you will need to re-add them at points throughout the cooking process. So you place the bomb on the hottest part of the grill. And it's been about 30 or 45 minutes, and if you open the grill, you'll start to see that smoke is starting to come up through these holes. It's at this point now that you can turn your heat down, and you can start cooking your meat. So you can, typically when you're adding smoke, you're going to cook things that are going to cook longer at lower temperatures. For instance, instead of frying chicken wings, I'll smoke chicken wings. So they, you know, you want to go through the same process. You only need one bomb at this point, but you can put all the chicken wings on and turn the temperature down, cook them for about 45 minutes or so, and then you'll have smoke flavor of the chicken into the chicken wings. It's really great. So you want to typically turn the temperature down. You're either going to go medium or medium low, or even, you know, depending upon what you're doing, medium high. You know, you still want to go with a lower temperature because you actually want to have time for that smoke to permeate the meat.
I think that was it.
That's basically all there is to it. If you want to try experimenting with this, like I said, just go. You can find them at most. You can find wood chips at most, home centers. I've seen them at like Lowe's and Home Depot. If you have a specific grill shop that's around, they'll definitely have it. But for now, that's what this segment's going to be about. The next segment, we're going to talk about charcoal grills, and then the final segment, we'll talk about smokers. Thanks. I hope this gives everybody an opportunity to start, you know, adding some smoke flavor into their meats. I can get into, in a later episode, you know, actually applying this, like I mentioned, the chicken wings. And if anybody has any interest in any of that type of stuff, just, you know, shoot me an email, and I will gladly address it in a future segment.
I love cooking with smoke. Oh.
Chips.
I do too.
Me too.
I'll do a pork shoulder for 20 hours. Mm. That's getting up throughout the middle of the night and changing out the chips and doing all that stuff, you know, how many times.
So Dan, you got a full smoker?
I built one. I don't have like one that you would see like at a if you go to buy one, but I actually built one. There was an episode on Good Eats with Alton Brown where he took two terracotta pots and made a smoker out of it. And I've done it, and I've used it, and I tell you what, it really works great.
All you need is a hot plate with that, isn't it?
Yep, just a hot plate. I've modified it to allow for airflow of different things and with the thermometer and stuff like that to make that so that it's actually right down on the grate itself, so I know specifically how hot the temperature is at the point where the meat is.
I don't know. I was thinking about getting into the smoking stuff. I was thinking of my next barbecue, getting one that can do both gas, wood, or briquettes.
Yum.
That is
speaking of Alton Brown, I did a brine a turkey 1 year for Thanksgiving, and let me tell you, that was awesome.
It's the best way. I actually brought and smoke them on Christmas morning usually.
You can't really brine them and then fry them though, can you?
No.
No, it's too much water. Be too much liquid in it.
Yeah. That would cause an explosion.
Yep.
A boom.
Yeah, turkey frying's big down here.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. I really don't have an interest in frying anything anymore. I think I can pretty much make anything I want to on the grill.
Yeah. I've even,
French fries.
Even like Yeah.
You can grill. You can grill. That. You know, steak fries.
Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. I do that all the time.
Now, you know, not to stray too far away from smoking. I don't want to detract, but before I did want to add a little cooking thing from my perspective in here. And even though it's not about smoking, do you guys use mortar and pestle?
Yes.
I tell you what, that was one of the best purchases I made. And I think that it's just, I love it, because you buy the spices and stuff and whole seeds, and you just grind them up. And just just regular pepper, and the stuff that you grind, it just brings out the flavor of the spices. Now, how big is your mortar?
It is probably about 6 inches around, I'd say. And it's real heavy stone. A deep, probably about 4 or 5 inches, I'd say.
Now see, the one I bought, I didn't know if I was going to like it, so I went and got a chintzy at Walmart, and I bought it's like almost like a small bowl. That's too small, because I got stuff when I'm trying to grind stuff flying at it. It works great, but it's just too small. I recommend getting a big one.
What I need to do is get an actual stone, you know, paddle to use inside of that thing, because the one that we have right now is wood, and it doesn't give you enough pressure down on the stuff to actually, you know, bust it up.
Like a marble one.
It works, but you're sitting there, you know, forever trying to get it done. But Dan, a quick tip for that, though, too, is take those, you know, the seeds and stuff like that you're buying, put them in a dry pan and put it over, like, low heat for about, you know, a couple minutes. You keep tossing it around.
Mm.
You gotta heat them up. That'll bring out the oils in those herbs and spices and whatnot.
Let's dry it out a little bit.
What do you like,
Davey? I like it when somebody else cooks my food.
There you go.
Well, you deal with food all day long, don't you, Dave?
That's just too much work. I don't even like to peel shrimp. I can somebody peel them for me.
You know what? You don't need to peel shrimp. You can just eat them with the shell on. It's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
This might not feel too good coming out the other end.
This from the person who left nothing inside of that lobster when we ate it.
And I sit on the toilet for 3 hours the next day.
Eat shell, I mean shrimp with the shell still on. But what I wanted to add, one more thing about the mortar and pestle. I like to make my own guacamole, and since I started doing it in the mortar and pestle, it's been 10 times better.
You don't use the magic bullet,
much more
Dan?
Flavorful. No, I don't.
That is the
best
infomercial I've ever seen. Have you guys ever
seen that guacamole with a mortar and pestle?
Yeah.
That sounds like a mess.
No kidding, man.
It's not really. You just, you know, you throw some little bit of pepper, a little bit of salt in there. You grind that up, throw in a little garlic and cilantro, and you grind that up a little bit, and it gets like a little pasty. And then you chop up the avocado. You put in a little bit at a time and get it going. Once you get a paste going at the bottom, it kind of holds everything in there, and it doesn't like make a big mess.
Fly out.
And then once you're done with that, squirt on a little lime. You got yourself some cilantro.
I could just see it shooting out at you, you know?
Give me a magic bullet.
Yeah, Link will use his magic bullet.
That's the best commercial.
You know, magic bullet is also a name for a small personal massager.
I was going to say
that. You can buy off a certain website.
Right, third place.
Third device,
and how would you know about that, Dan?
Yeah, Dan.
Because I'm using it right
with his
now.
Magic bullet.
Where are you using it, Dan? That's the important part.
That's what that low hum is in the background.
Perverts. But I'll tell you though, Dan, I do really want to make one of those smokers.
With his belly.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it'll cost you about $40-$50 at the most, I think, to get just a few pieces that you need together. I got some bricks and elevated it a little bit, and also broke up one inside so that the hot plate sat up so that air could actually come through the bottom hole in the terracotta pot a little bit. Otherwise, you need 2 grill grates, a small one for the charcoal, you know, where you would put the charcoal roughly inside of a Weber grill, and then you have the large one, usually like around 22.5 inches, something like that. Flip the other one on top, and it's done. And I tell you what, it works really, really well. The nice thing about it is you don't have to maintain like charcoal as well as the wood, you know, then for the smoking and everything like that. You could just set the temperature to get to about 210, 250 degrees and just let the thing go.
You could probably go to like a thrift store or something to get the hot plate instead of buying a brand new one. In fact, that's probably would be preferable, I would think.
I had an issue with size, with getting the right size to fit down inside of the terracotta pot. I ended up finding one at a Bed Bath and Beyond or whatever. It was like $12 or $15 or something like that.
Oh, well, you know, okay.
Yeah, it's not so bad, you know, to get one of those. No. If you can find a restaurant supply house near, you can probably find one there for next to nothing.
Right. I like looking for kitchen gadgets and stuff at the thrift stores, because, you know, especially like right after Christmas time, if you walk in there, you'll probably find a lot of bread makers that have probably been only used once or twice. And I love my bread maker. I have one of those. They're great to find stuff for like that, you know, for projects like that. Like if you need I haven't tried it yet, but there's a way you can roast coffee in a hot air popper.
You see that all the time.
Yep.
You want the ones that actually swirl the air, that doesn't blow it up straight. Although the one that blows it up straight does actually work real well too. You just have to watch for flying beans, but
yeah, there's a couple where it like spins the little cup in the bottom, which would make the air like you're saying, Alan.
It'll come out from the sides.
Yeah, I've been really wanting to try that because. A lot of people don't know, but like if you have like fresh roasted coffee, in order to get the best cup of coffee, you actually need to use those beans within a week. So if you buy a pound,
much sooner than that, actually.
Yeah, probably sooner, but a week is fair, I think, to get the best cup. But if you have green,
the night before.
Right. Well,
you let the beans sit. You do it the night before. You let the beans sit overnight. They air out just a little bit. Trust me.
That's enough time to degas them.
Oh yeah, they'll degas overnight.
Okay.
You can use them as soon as you finish on them, but they really taste better a little bit. You know, if you give them a little time to degas.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We all feel better when we degas.
Oh, absolutely. But there's actually a couple of coffee pots that will actually do everything. Roast the bean, grind it, pass it on to the filter, and make you a good cup of coffee in the morning. You know, incredible.
Yeah, but again,
cup
you're,
of coffee
the problem is with that is you're using the beans right after you grind, and you really have to like let them sit overnight. It just tastes a whole lot better.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, they like if you ever been to a coffee roaster or something, like there's one downtown on that street that Lord Drakenbluth likes to say I'm always on.
Gay Street.
But that they actually Gay Street. Cafe Brioso, awesome little cafe. But they roast their own beans there, and they'll roast, probably they'll start roasting for the next day, like I don't know, maybe about 2-3 o'clock. In the afternoon, so by the time by the morning everything's all ready to go, and the coffee there is just phenomenal. And those green beans, a lot of people don't know the green beans, those will last a lot longer before you roast them.
Let's have this in another segment because it's time to go.
Yeah, I ought to try that and then do a segment just for the hell of it. That's something I haven't tried yet. That's one of the things I've been wanting to try. So, all right,
play us out.
You ready to play us out?
Damn, all this talking about food is making me hungry now.
food, meat, coffee.
Actually, we don't have a play out anymore.
Because
we already played our song.
Well, yeah. Dan's got another one, dummy.
Run the closing, Dan.
Alright, good night, guys.
Night, night.
Christophe LaPook is going to be on the show next week, correct?
Yes, he is.
I hope.
Yeah. Alright.
Is he confirmed?
Yes, he did.
Send him an email. Alright, here we go. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next
week. Don't forget
about the mailing list.
Good night.
Oh, and last but not least, the that other jQuery editor I was talking about was LRT. I posted it in the IRC. People said it looked pretty cool. ELRTE, I believe is what it was. It's something to check out. ELRTE.org. I guess it's short for LRite. It's an open source WYSIWYG editor for a website. Check it out, ELRTE.org. And without further ado, gentlemen, we'll see you next week.
Nighty-night.
Can we talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just stop geeking
me. Just stop geeking me.
Hey, it's Steve Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Stop recording conversation.
Looking forward to the new Thundercat series coming.
When's it coming?
Series?
2011.
Really?
Year in two? Wow.
What? What are you talking about?
I heard your wife in the background say, me too.
Oh, no, that was my daughter. The old one.
Oh.
The old busted daughter. Not
the Gosh, she one. Sounds like your wife almost.
Oh, they all sound the same anymore.
All them women.
Plain and gretzy, grouchy, crabby females running around here.
PMS City, man.
Cats and I are the only males around. We just take off. We're done. We had enough. We go outside and lay in the bush.
Dan likes to cuddle with his pussy.
You know what? They're Here's a good song. I don't know if did you guys hear this yet? It's one of those I don't know if you call it viral videos. Probably it's over on InnerTube Records. Cheeseburger.com. It's pretty. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was hilarious as hell. It's a ripoff of Thug Life called Dad Life. The video that goes with it is great.
It's how we live, 24-7, 365. Check me. Gas station glasses, don't care what the masses think about me with my sweet goatee. I'm rocking my Dockers with a cuff and a crease. I got that St. John's Bay and the clip for my piece. I look nice.
I got dozens of dollars and that's right. It goes straight to my daughters and my wife. I'm a miracle dad, making magic with the checkbook is the talent I have. I roll hard in the yard with a 60-inch cut. Zero turn radius, my neighbors say, what? They be driving by, peeping my landscape. Yo, these greens got nothing on my manscape. Hydrangea, begonia, crepe myrtle,
ornamental turtle.
Hold up, is that a weed in my fescue? Oh no, Roundup to the rescue. It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Take my daddy to the party, it's the dad life. It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Shooting beers to the kids, it's the dad life. Roll up to the splash pad, 10 a.m., my whole entourage pops out the minivan. We splishy splashy for an hour or two, then it's back to the house,
yeah.
Prepping for the barbecue. Brock, dolls, records, whatever. Get me on the Weber, man, nobody does it better. Call me Lord of the Grill, I'm king of the coals. Nana's secret recipe, you know how I roll. 1080p, 16x9, I'm rocking man cave status with a screen like mine. Keep your peanut butter hands off my 50-inch Vizio. Pop up the corn, roll the Disney video. We got Aladdin, Jasmine, Abu, the genie. Hey. With kids like mine, everybody wants to be me.
Sing a nightlife song and then it's off to bed.
This is the dad life, no more to be said. It's the dad life,
hey.
It's the dad life. Hit the mall, coach and ball, it's the dad life. It's the dad life,
hey.
It's the dad life.
Oh.
Playing rough, fixing stuff, it's the dad life. It's the dad life, it's the dad life. Yeah, you know how we do it, it's the dad life.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the video.
That's like what? Somebody followed me around for a couple of days. And wrote everything down.
Not just you, man.
The goal was... Holy crap.
Good stuff. Anyway, I'm going to close up this recording so I can get it off. Say goodnight, Joel. Dan.
Goodnight, Dan.
Goodnight.
Yes. Hello.
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 Well, hey there.
Howdy, big boy.
How you doing? Say something, Link.
Something.
Say something a little more than that.
Something a little more than that.
All right. Let's hear how Alan sounds.
Hello, hello. Bethlehem City Council approves tax deal to fund steel tack work. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
I would say more, but my mouth is full of...
cock.
The KFC's mashed potato bowl.
Mmm.
It's delicious, hello. But I think it's going to give me the shits.
Who's that?
Dave.
Mr.
Is that Dave.
Dave
Android Yates?
Yeah.
If you'd have said I'm sorry instead of saying hello, we'd have known who it was right off the bat, Dave.
Hey, Dan.
What?
As I was saying before, and then you didn't have the headphones on, I guess, on it. Do you still have the power supply for that mixing board down with you? Because it didn't come up in your box of fun.
It didn't? I'll find it.
No. Okay.
I thought I did bring it up.
If you did bring it up, it didn't. I didn't get it, so no biggie. Just so you know where it is. Yes, sir.
Hold on, Link. Say something.
Hello,
Alan. Can you turn yourself down just a hair?
This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show.
1212. Party with the Stars, United Astronomy Club of New Jersey. Starts right, at 7 p.m. Okay. 1212.
down.
So it's just us tonight, or do we have a guest?
We were going to have guests, but they bailed on the last minute again.
We're doing pretty good with that anymore, aren't we?
This is the second set of guests that have bailed this show. This particular
for just
episode.
This one.
Yeah, just this one episode. So apparently the fates have said that we are not to have a guest on this episode.
Yeah, okay.
It's okay. It's just us. We'll survive.
I don't know. We've never done this before.
Nah. That Facebook movie got good reviews.
I think I'll wait for it to show up on HBO. Eastern cadet accidentally shot at Allentown Police Academy. Perhaps that person should not have a gun. Especially because he shot himself.
I wonder if they were related to anyone on the Eastern Police Force.
Yeah. The cadet, Benjamin Mastrofilippo. Yeah, he didn't master the gun.
He said he shot himself by...
Yeah, he shot himself in the leg while attempting to reholster his pistol.
Well, if that's the case, then they should immediately put him in the Eastern SWAT team. Because that's the kind of quality person that they need in that team, you know?
Yeah. Well, except he would have failed because they shoot other people in the SWAT team.
Right, well, you know, equal opportunity
usually,
and all that.
Usually in the same squad room. Chocolate cover Halloween peeps unveiled. There we go. Marshmallow pumpkins. Because that's front page news, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet night.
I have the feeling that I'm going to see the corn in this potato bowl again soon.
Before or after you eat it?
After.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, well, you missed all the fun, Pat. You missed all the fun with seeing everything that Dan ate.
the Mongolian barbecue a second time. There you go.
Uh-huh.
It was rather red.
I'm not even sure that wasn't, like, maybe the third time, you know?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a fun time, though.
Oh yeah,
maybe not so much for Dan, but
okay, take pictures.
And I had a great time. Dan was hurting, man.
Face on YouTube within like an hour.
I have never
I was good. I did
gray
not
before.
Yeah, I didn't take any pictures. I was good there. I felt sorry.
Yeah? Is that how we're playing it?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how we're playing it?
Slot is too big. It's very easy if you're not paying attention to it. It's very, very simple to actually put it in the wrong slot. And I read a couple of...
What the hell was he just talking about?
Sticking it in the wrong spot.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Man Fry?
I'm doing good.
Awesome.
You gotta turn that down a little bit if you're gonna play it, Dan, because that was really loud.
All right. Hi, this is Alan from the Link Tech Show.
Let me see if I can get
the audio.
I
did a good job with that, man. You should play that.
I'm going to. Since we don't have any guests tonight, we got three short segments.
We're just gonna play it over and over again to make up time.
All right, I want to get the audio quite right on this.
We have three segments?
Wait, what happened to the audio?
I give.
That just... What the hell? What'd I do?
You broke it, man.
Recording conversation.
All right. Who's that chick? She sounds sweet.
That sounds like the Google Voice.
The Google Voice one?
It usually fails 5 minutes into the recording.
Only if you have multiple people on.
Well, we'll see. This is the Gizmo lady, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, she says recording conversation now, but later on she says taking clothes off now.
This one actually is coming loose, so it's very poor build quality. That's one big thing right there. Micro SD card. This is a tablet, people. If you're going to design a tablet, put a normal SD card in there. Micro SD is fine for a phone, but you're never going to take it out.
All right, how's that?
This thing's a pain in the butt.
Sounds better.
Get it out.
That's pretty good.
If you haven't gotten nails, you're not going to do it.
I really love that review, because it's Alan going, you know, like, fuck you. Build your stuff.
Yeah, this thing's a piece of shit.
I didn't want to say that.
You? Don't put this shit out. Yeah.
I didn't want to say that.
We know what you're thinking.
Yes, it was, actually.
Obvious, too.
I think we need an Alan soundboard there off of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's some... Piece of shit, people.
This thing's a pain in the butt.
Well, I did edit out the F-bomb I did have in there, so.
You should have left it in.
That was right about when I was explaining about the SD card. I had to redo that one to get rid of the F-bomb.
Alan and the F-Bomb.
Well, I figured we wouldn't care about it, but if somebody was, like, listening to it on the, you know, just randomly off of YouTube.
You are a bad man, oh. Alan.
Well, hopefully I changed the picture so it's not, like, Gorkon on the phone. On my picture there first. For some reason it had, like, Gorkon's picture on it. I was like, what the hell is Joel doing on here?
That's what everybody says about this show.
And speaking of that, where is Dan tonight?
I don't know. He's probably hanging out with our guests. Both sets of them.
Boy. Was that your phone, Dave?
No, that was
not
mine.
Not funny, Dan.
Rub it in, why don't you?
Probably running Froyo as of 6:30 this morning.
Who's phone, Dave?
Are you happy like a little girl?
I am.
Man fry.
I nearly creamed my pants.
Easy now.
Yeah, that speed is nice,
appreciate that kind of language on the show.
What?
It's provocative.
The Droid X.
The X?
Yep.
Bastard.
And the best part is, work paid for it.
Did you say something like, you suck? Is that what you said?
Are we ready to start the show? Because we're running
Let's
late.
Let's do it, man!
Do it to it! Everybody ready?
Once again.
Once again what?
La, 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 la.
Once again,
oh,
we're late.
Let's begin. All right.
Okay, I'm muting
five,
myself. Bye.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right.